superheroes. I'm Pink Phoenix, coming to you from Purdue University College of Veterinary Medicine's League of VetiHumans. Today, our special guest on VetiHumans Live is VetiHuman Morph Mouse. Thanks for being on the show, Morph Mouse.
Thanks for having me, Pink Phoenix. It's great.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. To get started, can you tell us your story?
Oh, yeah. My superhero story?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Morph Mouse is a really interesting superhero. Sometimes in life, you need new skills and to meet an adventure. And Morph Mouse can get it. He just has to learn about it. So he loves books, loves learning about animals, and loves to adapt to his challenges.
I love this. How did you turn into Morph Mouse?
Well, I think we're all kind of a little bit Morph Mouse. I think a couple years ago, I was working as a veterinarian, taking care of cats and dogs, and I wanted to do other things in life too. And I realized that, hey, if I need a new skill, I can teach that to myself and I can learn about it and I can read about it. And next thing you know, I just was able to do that. And I just realized that was a superpower that I had.
Excellent. You expressed your vetigene.
Exactly. It got turned on.
So I want to hear more about how you grew up, what led you down this path, and especially the moment when you decided you had to be a veterinarian.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. So I was born in Guatemala, long way away from Purdue University, but I was born there. And I moved to the United States when I was 10. My dad was a veterinarian. He's always done lab animal medicine and research. And so, of course, at first, I didn't want anything to do with that. And so when I got to Purdue, I started studying biology, and I really liked it. And in one of the summers in undergrad, I took a trip to Costa Rica, and my job there was to catch butterflies. So I ran around the jungle and the rainforest for a whole summer catching butterflies and learning about where they live. But then when I came back, I realized, man, I really want to do it. I think I'm really going to do it. And so I walked over and I changed my major and I signed up to go on an animal science in anticipation of being a veterinarian. So that was it. That was the moment I knew that I could do it.
Way cool. I'm glad you did. I do want to hear more about something. If you would share it, what was it like coming here at the age of 10, what was that transition like?
Yeah, that's a good one. It was really interesting. I was very lucky and I had great teachers and I moved to a small town in Indiana. So it was really kind of small and unique. It was a challenge for sure, you know. My English wasn't great then. And, of course my family was in a really dynamic place, changing a lot. But we were able to get through it. And one of my favorite memories, was, you know, in school, sometimes it was really hard, cause I didn't know any of the kids. And so I just rushed through my homework and go home. And my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Anderson, actually walked to my house after school and let my grandma know that I didn't do my homework well and I should try again. And at first I was grumpy, but now I'm really thankful for her doing that. So a lot of support from a lot of people and a lot of luck. But yeah, moving to the States was cool.
Thanks so much for sharing that. I have a question for you. Are you the kind of veterinarian you thought you would be, or has your career path changed?
It has changed. When I was in veterinary school, I wanted to work on different problems that veterinarians can handle. So, for example, I had this plan to study different parasites that affect sheep and wolves and humans in Kyrgyzstan and Mongolia and China. And I had this vision that I would get to travel the world and do this type of work. And that didn't work out at first, and that's okay. And then I started doing a small animal medicine, which I really liked, and I've been doing that for 10 years. And now, over the last 2 years, I realized, hey, I've got this Vetagene going on. I can learn new things, and I've started going back to school to learn more about how a veterinarian could really do the type of work that I originally wanted to do. And I started sort of along that path now. So right now, not only am I a veterinarian on a couple days a week, but I'm also a student again too. And it's been really cool to relearn some skills that I think are going to guide me to the next veterinary adventure.
That's just outstanding. So you had dreamed about traveling the world. Veterinary medicine is pretty global. Have you gotten to travel much?
I have. I have gotten a chance to travel in a lot of the Americas. One of my human adventures was doing a bike ride from Los Angeles, California, all the way through Central America and all the way down to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Now, I wasn't taking care of cats and dogs like a veterinarian, but I was there, and I got to see the different places and the different cultures and the different way that we humans interact with our animals. One of my favorite times was I was riding my bicycle around Lake Titicaca in Bolivia, going from Peru into Bolivia, and I got to meet a woman who was an alpaca rancher, and I got to see her, and I got to learn about how she works with her animals, and it was really neat.
I remember that. That was so awesome. My hero.
I also learned, just to add another story, I learned that guinea pigs, when a lot of folks have a lot of guinea pigs in the Andean Mountains. And when someone, a stranger, enters the home, oftentimes the guinea pigs either make a lot of noise or they're very quiet. And I think if they're very quiet, it means that they're scared. And so that person is considered to be bad luck. So you want the guinea pigs to bark at you when you walk to someone's home. And I thought that was really neat.
Did the guinea pigs bark for you?
You know, I never got to see them. I just heard the story. I never got to walk into a place. And I think that they would. I think that they could sense that we're good people.
I think so, too. I think they'd be barking up a storm. So these stories are fantastic. Tell us about your best day ever as a vet so far.
Oh man, my best day ever. Well, we have a lot of good days and we have a lot of tough days. That's for sure. My best day ever, I think, was I was working on a cattle farm, on a dairy farm, as part of my training too. And I was there, and there was we had to be there really early, and we had to help milk the cows and do all that stuff. And then out in the field, there was a cow who was struggling to give birth to give birth to her little baby calf. And when we recognized that, we all ran out in the field and we helped her. And I got to you know, do the old classic vet thing, which is to pull a calf, which I don't get to do at all on my day-to-day life. So that was really neat. It was really sort of down to roots, and you get muddy and dirty, but we got to deliver the calf and watched her and her mom do well afterwards. So it was a really neat day.
That is the best feeling when you get a newborn baby calf.
Yeah. Can't beat that, huh?
And you are very skilled at this. One way to develop our superpowers and to become better human beings is to see things from different perspectives. Mm. And you've already told us just phenomenal stories on how you do this. I love how you've explored the role of a primary care veterinarian or a family doctor for pets from all different ways. Can you tell us more about this?
Yeah. You know, I think it takes time. You know, when we first graduate as veterinarians and we get our white coat and our stethoscope and we show up to work, there's a lot of, I think, at least for me, there was a lot of fear and a lot of doubt and a lot of I don't know or a lot of I'm scared, because it was new and it was scary. And, you know, in a lot of ways, sometimes we don't deal with those things. We put our head down and we plow through, and sometimes we get grumpy, but we keep going, or we try to muscle our way through a problem that we don't understand, or a client that we don't communicate well with. And I think by luck and by grace, I think we're able to find that it's better to accept the things that we're good at and accept the things that we're not good at, and recognize that sometimes it's okay to say, I'm not good at something. I need to be better at it, and practice and have patience with not only our clients and our patients, but with ourselves. And then you start getting the ability to look at the role of a veterinarian, not so much from my perspective, our perspective, but from the client's perspective, and even from the pet's perspective. You know, what is it like to be a scared puppy in an exam room? You know, or what's it like to be, you know, a scared owner whose dog is really, really sick? And when we put ourselves in those shoes and when we look at things from that way, we realize that a lot of the struggle and a lot of the fear that we had when we were young veterinarians kind of melts away, because we're able to communicate better.
Well said. That just beautiful. All right, I want to hear about what gets you fired up.
Ooh, what gets me fired up? Definitely learning and teaching, the process and the realization when we learn something or when we teach something. You know, when I read or I study or I talk with someone and I learn something new, it gets me really excited, because I think, man, you know, I now no longer have to worry about this challenge because I've learned something new. And teaching as well. So one of my favorite days working in my hospital was a day that I saw a little dog who had gotten diabetes and he needed insulin to feel better. And that's a hard thing to do, because, you know, his owners had to give him injections every day, twice a day. And that's a tough thing to do. That's a scary thing to do. and we, you know, we were struggling to really get the medicine to work well, and the owners were a bit struggling with giving the medication. But, you know, it just happened that we were able to take extra time that day and really teach them how to do it. We took it step by step and kind of went back to the beginning. And by doing that, all of a sudden, the owners were able to give the medicine a lot easier, and his sugar levels improved, and he was so much healthier. Odin was his name, Little Odin. Little Odin all of a sudden started being just a trooper and started barking again and wagging his tail again, and we realized, wow, we got it. We figured it out. And that type of moment when we learn something or we see that that the tough work that we put in gives us that success, that really gets me fired up.
That's such a great feeling. So learning gets you fired up. What are the cool new things you're learning about right now?
Wow. Yeah. So I'm learning, let's see. So I said I'm in school. I told you guys I'm in school. I'm learning about this of systems thinking. And it's a really...
What is that?
Yeah, systems thinking. I hope I can do it justice, because I'm still learning, so I'm new. So I'm scared that I'm going to give a wrong answer, but I'm just going to go at it. I'm just going to be brave and go for it. So the way I think about it is it's a way to look at a new problem or a new challenge or an old challenge, and it's a way to think about it from a different point of view. And so instead of sort of fighting with the issues, with the steps, we look back and say, okay, well, we know that this happens at the beginning, and we know that we want this to happen at the end. And let's look at it and say, okay, what are all the different influences that could lead us to be successful? What are the things that improve our chances of success, and what are the things that delay our chances of success? And so by sort of it's almost like prototyping, it's almost like building a little model of the problem that I'm trying to face. So for example, you know, if it is, you know, Odin and his diabetes and the issues that they're struggling with, you know, if I open up a medicine book, it doesn't tell me about, you know, the owner being scared, or it doesn't tell me about, Odin not wanting to eat in the morning. It doesn't tell me those things. And so with systems thinking, you know, you start adding all these other layers that could affect the problem, and it sometimes gives you really good solutions. And so systems thinking is one thing that I'm learning about now.
Absolutely. That's just so important. And it ties into seeing things from a different perspective and looking at all the variables in a situation so you can bring your best.
Yeah. And, you know, when I've thought about this, one of the coolest things about being a veterinarian is that even though we're not taught this, like there's not a book that says problem solving, that is what we do. You know, our patients don't talk to us, and we have to be detectives about it. And so I think that being a veterinarian has really prepared me well to learn about these type of things.
this is awesome. So you've had a lot of school, and you're still in school, and you're doing all of these incredible things. When you're not doing all the thinking, what are you doing for fun?
Yeah, for fun. You have to have fun. That's true. If you don't have fun, then why are we doing any of this anyways? I started playing Frisbee golf. over the pandemic, actually.
Yeah.
I started playing because it's outside, and you know, generally I play by alone because, you know, you're not supposed to be in big groups or whatever. And I started playing Frisbee golf, and at first I was really bad at it.
What was the key to your success? Turn that around.
Yeah, practice. and watching a lot of YouTube videos on how to throw a frisbee. Yeah, it was really fun. I still like doing it. Right now, it's all covered in snow, so I can't go out there. But yeah, frisbee golf is my new jam. Yeah.
And I've seen pictures of you leaping through deserts, I believe. What's that about?
Yeah. I love being outdoors. I love going out and camping and hiking. And I was really lucky, and I got to go to the Mojave Desert not that long ago, but it was in February. So we thought it'd be cold, but we said, oh, it's the desert. It's the Mojave Desert. It's one of the hottest places on earth. It's not going to be cold. So, of course, we didn't pack a lot of our cold gear. And wouldn't you know it, when the sun goes down in the Mojave Desert in February, it gets really cold. And so we shivered that night, but it was really fun. We got to explore abandoned gold mines, and we got to see a lot of cool the Joshua trees, which I hadn't seen before. So it was a really neat. Yeah, it was a really neat adventure.
So cool. All right, Marf Mouse. How are you using your superpowers to support or inspire others through the League of Vetahumans?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's see. I try and talk with the veterinarians that I know. I've only been a veterinarian for 12 years. In the grand scheme of things, it's probably not terribly long. And I certainly don't feel like I am a seasoned professional. But when I've met and talked with younger veterinarians, I feel like I get a sense that I can offer some mentorship and some guidance, both in the successes that we have and in the failures that we have. And I think being open to sharing that, being open to say, hey, you know, here's how I mucked it up for 5 years, and here's how you know, I've dealt with that problem. I think has inspired and helped the young veterinarians out there. Yeah.
Well, I know you've inspired this old veterinarian right here. You have packed a tremendous amount into those 12 years. All those experiences, so valuable. All right. What inspirational message do you have for those listening who want to be veterinarians like you?
So what advice would I give? Certainly, first, go for it, because you can do it. Second of all, really go for it and learn about all kinds of different things. And third, be wary of anyone who says you can't do it. You know, with dedication and learning, you can really achieve great things. You know, I think we all have the power to learn and the power to grow. And if working with animals and helping them feel better is sort of a dream for a young would-be veterinarian, then truly, I don't think there's anything that's going to stop you. I think that with dedication and focus, it could happen. And so go for it. That's what I have to say.
Absolutely. Go for it and surround yourself with people that are going to support you in your mission.
Yeah. Like a good League of Vetahumans.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Morph Mouse.
Thank you for having me, Pink Phoenix. This was a lot of fun.
It was. You can learn more about other League of Vetahumans superheroes at vetahumans.org. If you liked this episode, and I know you did, please subscribe, rate, and share it with your friends. And remember, use your powers for good.